This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 21 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Digital transformation. You probably hear this phrase all the time, but what does it mean exactly? Is it just an empty industry buzzword? Turns out, as I learned from today's guest, digital transformation has a specific definition, one that many people get wrong or confuse with similar terms. Later in the show, Anurag Agrawal, founder and CEO of analyst firm TechIsle, explains the true meaning of digital transformation and how it shouldn't be confused with digitization or digitalization. Those are three distinct terms often used by people interchangeably, but all with different meanings. So Anurag and I dig into all of that, as well as the MSP opportunities in helping clients with digitization, digitalization, or digital transformation, or all of those things. Anurag's company TechIsle specializes in researching small and mid-sized businesses, SMBs, for the channel. So he has some great insights and numbers to share with us. Of course, before we get to that conversation, we first make a pit stop with Richard Tubb and Carl Palachuk, who take a look at what's going on in the world through an MSP lens.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, folks. Richard Tubb here at home in a very sunny and beautiful Newcastle-upon-Tyne in the northeast of England. And I'm joined today by my very good friend and MXP expert, Carl Palachuk. How are you doing today, Carl?
Very good. The weather is also perfect in Sacramento.
Fabulous. I wanted to start off this week by talking about what's been going on for me. And I've attended what I think is the coolest event I've ever been to, an event called CMA Live 2018. It took place in Edinburgh. And the CMA doesn't stand for the Country Music Awards, although I'd imagine that's a cool event as well. It stands for the Content Marketing Academy. So we had about 200 small businesses, marketers in the room, a good contingent of MSPs and IT companies there. And the subject was content marketing. There's a lot of thought leadership over this, you know, some very fine speakers, including Chris Brogan, Brian Fanzo, many, many others, Anne Handley. It was just a fantastic event. Of course, not an IT event, but I really enjoyed it, you know, stepping outside the normal IT conferences we go to. And I wanted to just look at something that occurred to me while I was there. Nearly every one of the speakers, especially the keynote speakers, were talking specifically about video and how businesses need to start adopting video and putting video content out there to attract people. We already know that YouTube is the second biggest search engine in the world behind Google. People actually do lots of video searches there. But there was some really interesting statistics coming up around how video is used and how it attracts so many people, especially mobile video. In fact, while I was there, I got an opportunity. Brian Fanzo, one of the speakers, brought along a new pair of Snapchat spectacles. Have you come across these yet, Carl? Have you come across Snapchat? Okay, so the best way I can explain Snapchat specs is, you remember Google Glasses?
Yes.
Yes, Google Glasses I thought was a great idea, but it sort of didn't take off, did it? And so Snapchat spectacles are, if I say so myself, they're quite cool-looking sunglasses with a couple of video recording sort of devices embedded in them. You can tap a button and you can record whatever's in front of your face. Fantastic for doing family videos, but also fantastic for just recording what you see when you're out and about. So the man who runs CMA Live, a chap called Chris Marr, who's a fantastic marketeer, was gifted these Snapchat spectacles by Brian Fanzo and has already recorded some awesome video with them. They're available in the UK, they're available in the US, easily to buy, and they retail for about £150. So what's that, about $200, something there and thereabouts. I was just thinking, Carl, how many MSPs do we know who don't really, well, most MSPs don't do a lot of video? Could this be a cool way for MSPs to show what they get up to give a client a peek behind the curtain at what they do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, what's interesting for me, the first thing that popped into my head was it would also be good for how-to videos where you could literally look at your workbench and say, okay, you see this connector here, that one right there, that's going to be your USB inside the motherboard. And, you know, you can watch me plug this in and so forth, right? You could do those kinds of videos, because it's not going to be recording me. It's going to be recording what I'm seeing.
Exactly. And I was thinking, you know, it's not the most interesting of subjects, but you could actually use the glasses as part of, say, a prospect package when you're putting together a deal. You could show some video footage of, say, what's going wrong in the comms room and what a mess it actually is in there. You could highlight some equipment and so on and so forth. So I think it's interesting. It seems like it's a consumer product at the moment, not one that's not very well uptaken. But as we know, all of these consumer products eventually end up in the business region.
Well, and there doesn't seem to be the creepy factor that people felt around the original Google Glass, you know, that, oh, I don't know if I'm being recorded by people who come in. And there were bars that literally didn't let people in if they were wearing these things.
Yeah. The original Google Glasses, I thought, were a great idea. But yeah, they were just a little bit creepy. Whereas the Snapchat Spectacles, they're actually in their second iteration now. So the first iteration, version one of the Snapchat Spectacles, looked a bit comic-y. They looked like some silly glasses you might put on to go to a fancy dress party or something. The second version, as I said, they actually look really quite cool. And they, when you are recording, there's two little lights on them that actually glow up to let people know you're recording. So it sort of reduces the freaky factor there. interestingly, you're a spectacle wearer as well as me. We have to wear spectacles, not just to look cool, but to actually see where we're going. And in the US, Snapchat Spectacles will have prescription lenses in there as well. So you can record and see where you're going at the same time. Bonus.
Well, what's interesting about that is I frequently pay more than $200 for my frames already.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of video, I also got to spend some time with, I know this man has appeared on the OVIC podcast before, our mutual friend, Nigel Moore from the Tech Tribe over in Australia. Nigel was visiting the UK. And while we're talking about video, Nigel is using an application called Bonjouro to send personalized welcome messages to new MSPs who join his community. I thought this was really remarkable. And the feedback that I've seen from the MSPs who are a part of Nigel's community, you know, they're blown away by it. So again, it strikes me, why are we not using video more often if it's so easy to do and yet so remarkable and yields such great results?
I'm not sure why. I do have to say that I've had clients using it very effectively, and content marketing really is kind of the best kind of marketing out there, that you engage people, you get them thinking, you interact with them, and then, oh, by the way, I got this product or I have this service. It's quite effective.
Yeah. So CMA Live, a fantastic event. I've already put the event in the diary for next year in Edinburgh. We'll have to see if we can get you across for that one, Carl, maybe as a speaker on stage.
I might even if the weather is good.
So we were talking just briefly earlier about Google Glasses and perhaps the creepy factor of them. I want to talk about a story that you brought up to me. Perhaps we can talk a little bit more about it. I think it's sort of creepy. And this news that you brought to my attention, Carl, about Marriott, the hotel chain in the States, doing a deal with Amazon to have Alexa in every hotel room. Tell us some more about that.
So this is an interesting development because it's being sold as an opportunity to have better service, for you to say, Alexa, I need more towels, or, you know, Alexa, I'd like my car brought up at 3 o'clock. Which is fine. I mean, you don't have to pick up a phone. You can just say the words, but it means you've got this Alexa device on all the time in your hotel room. And we've already discussed how that can be a little creepy for some people. I imagine there will be people who will insist on unplugging it or turning it off.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about this technology before. It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. But something specifically happened to you that you shared with me over the past couple of weeks, didn't you? And you actually, in the spirit of science, you want to enter into a bit of an experiment here for me and the listeners. Tell us more about that. Where are you going with this, Carl?
Well, I have known many people who have told me stories, and I don't know whether they're true or not. Sometimes human beings see something and they experience something and they have superstition. And so they believe that these things are connected where they may or may not be. And it all wraps around people having conversations. For example, they're talking about Cadbury's chocolates, and they suddenly see that there are advertisements on Facebook for Cadbury's chocolates. And you think, well, is that really true, or did you also type it in? Because we know if you type something in to Google or YouTube or whatever, you will see advertisements for remarketing of that product for a month or so. And we've all had that experience. But you know that you did that search. What people are telling me is they've had this experience of having had conversations and not doing a search and not typing anything into the computer, and then they see related advertising. So I would like to do an experiment with our listeners. And okay. Please report back to us. Send an email to Avik and send it to us and tell us whether you did or did not have this experience. So Richard and I came up with a phrase that it's not Cadbury's chocolates, but it's a different phrase. And when I say it, we want to repeat it a few times and you can speak the words. So if you're listening to this and you want to repeat the words, you can do that, but don't put in a Google search. Don't put in a YouTube search. Don't look for this intentionally. Only say the words, because the theory is that whether it is your cell phone or your iPad or your Alexa or your Siri, you are being listened to somewhere, somehow, and that's being used to give you marketing.
So before we get onto the phrase itself, you and I have talked about this before, and I'm quite cynical of this. I'm a believer that the technology can be used for good. It's not listening to us. And I actually believe that any of these stories that come up is due to human beings have what's called the reticular activation system, the RAS, and it's similar to where you buy Toyota Prius as your new car, for instance. Suddenly, you spot Toyota Priuses everywhere on the road. They were always there, but your brain is only just sort of bringing it to your attention. However, the phrase that you've come up with here, I doubt very much that your reticular activation system is ever going to overlook something like this. So perhaps explain once again what you want me and the listeners to do, and then share the phrase.
So we're going to give you this phrase, and it's not Cadbury's chocolates. It's a different phrase. And when we say these words, we do not want anybody to type it or look for it in any way on any search engine. You may repeat it. You may say the words aloud in your house anytime in the next 24 hours, and then see if in the next day or two, you begin to see advertisements for this product or its competitors, although I can't imagine who their competitors are.
Yeah, I should say up front, I'm really hoping this scientific experiment fails, because if I see this popping up in my adverts, it's going to prove everything that's wrong with technology, and I may just, you know, throw in my gig in the MSP industry and go and run a fishing tackle store or something like that. This would be downright scary. But Carl, pray tell, what is the phrase that you want us to say?
So, you know, in response to what you just said, this is completely, truly not that scientific. It's not that well controlled. So
I was trying to add some credence to our ramblings here, but yeah, go ahead.
on the other hand, if we get the results that you don't want, somebody needs to do some serious research on this.
Definitely.
Because you're right. It would be creepy, right? Mm-hmm. So the phrase is, everybody ready for this? And you can repeat after me. The phrase is, Wowee Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings.
Okay,
so if you see an advertisement for Wowee Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings, I hope that you're a little bit freaked out.
We'll do it in the British accents as well. So we've got Wowee, Wowee Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings. That's Wowee Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings.
What I'm unaware of is if there are Wowee Blaze Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings in other colors. So there may be blue or green or purple. I don't know.
That would be interesting, especially if we're served up alternative adverts for Wowee Blaze Green Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings. Have I just spoiled the experiment by sharing one of the...
Unless you type it in, you have not ruined the experiment. And actually, you can type it in because I'm not going to take your report either way.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So that's going to be an interesting one. So like I said, I'll be upfront and honest and hope that this experiment fails miserably. Because if it does come to pass, if I start seeing adverts for Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings popping up on my feed. It's going to freak me right out. So I thought, I hope this failed. But so again, for the listeners, what do you want us to say this in conversation? Do you want us to mention it just once? Or do you want us to risk alienating people around us thinking we're totally crazy and mention it during conversations as well?
Well, I would think if you do it in your environment, so whether right now you're listening to this in your home office or at work or wherever, try it in that environment. And most of us have, like I said, several devices. We all have a cell phone, which may or may not be listening to us at any minute. We might have an Alexa or a Siri or an iPad, so forth. And if all of those devices together hear you say Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings, they may just decide to start giving you some advertising.
Well, I have got my desktop computer listening. I've got my smartphone nearby, and I've also got my Alexa device nearby as well. So if these devices are listening to us, we are soon going to find out about it. So,
and you've had the experience, haven't you, that you search for Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck USB keys or something, and then for the next month you get advertisements for those things?
We can rationalize that though, can't we? We all know about cookies and we know, you know, about retargeting and things like that. But as we say, with this experiment, we are not going to type this in. This is not going to be a website that we visited that's going to retarget us or place a cookie. This is purely the devices that are listening to us and whether they understand that we say, Wowie Blaze, Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings.
And the good news is, if you happen to see an advertisement for Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings, there's no question this is where it came from.
Absolutely. So we will keep an eye on that. And I'm excited and a little bit terrified to see the results of this. But yeah, get in touch with us. I'm at Tublog on Twitter. You can reach out to the OVIC team via their website as well. And you can also get in touch with Carl at Carl Palachuk as well. But don't mention the phrase Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings when you type us a message. Just let us know what your findings are. I think we should draw a line under it there, Carl. I'm starting to get a little bit tired of saying Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings. I don't know about you.
I could say Wowie Blaze Orange Untamed Raptor by Fingerlings one more time and then I'm done.
Okay. So we'll draw a line under it there. Thank you for joining me today, Carl, for frankly what's been one of the most bizarre episodes of What's Going On. And as I say, I really hope it doesn't get more bizarre when we come back with the results of this experiment in a couple of weeks' time. Have a great time there in Sacramento, California, Carl, and I will look forward to speaking to you and everybody else next time.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
As always, I'll put links to the resources Carl and Richard discuss in today's show notes at ovic.com/franklymsp/021. Now we come to my interview with Anurag Agrawal. Anurag started out in research as an industry analyst at IDC, where he launched IDC's quarterly tracker research program. After that, he headed up worldwide research operations for Gartner before leaving to found TechIsle, his own analyst firm, in 2008. If you listen to episode 12 of Frankly MSP, which was my first interview with MSP Josh Weiss, you may remember Josh mentioning TechIsle as a great source of market information for MSPs. Certainly, if your clients are SMBs, I'd say it's worth your time to check out the TechIsle website. Here's what Anurag had to say on the topic of digital transformation and the opportunities for you to help your clients with it.
Hi, Anurag. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Happy to be here.
You have a fantastic history in the industry. You were with IDC and then head of worldwide research for Gartner, and now have your own firm, TechIsle, doing more research focused on helping MSPs with small and mid-sized businesses.
That is true. Yes, I have been in this business for over 30 years now.
That's fantastic. And today we're going to be talking about digital transformation. Now, this is a term that MSPs, I'm sure, hear a lot, all over the tech industry, digital transformation. You've got to transform digitally. But what does that really mean? What is digital transformation?
Yes, absolutely right. I mean, I think it's right to really start off with what it really means. I mean, there are nearly as many definitions of digital transformation as there are firms looking to really make some money out of it. We at TechIsle view digital transformation as the use and integration of digital business processes across the entire enterprise. In this context, actually, if you look at it, digital transformation is the extension of digitalization, which in turn means is the business use of data generated through digitization, which means that there are three different phases: digitization, digitalization, and digital transformation, which most use interchangeably. It is incorrect, actually. I can expand on it, which means that digitization is actually the conversion of manual paper records, data, or processes into a digital format. Like, for example, you start to use Salesforce or something else. And digitalization is the use of digital technologies to automate processes. And finally, digital transformation refers to integration of these processes to achieve enterprise-wide automation, which spans multiple functions, modernizes current processes, and implements supporting infrastructure solutions to achieve unimaginable business outcomes. So this is actually what we mean by digital transformation.
I can see that being really important, or companies really getting into that at the enterprise level. But is this something that small and mid-sized businesses are really thinking about or doing?
Yes, you would be really surprised. In our most recent study of 1,600 SMBs, and we at TechIsle do about 30, 40,000 surveys of our own across different geographies each year. So in our most recent study conducted within the US of 1,600 small and mid-market firms, and we define SMBs as one employee size to 1,000 employees, we found that only 18% do not have any form of digital transformation initiative, which actually means that 82% of SMBs are already on their digital transformation journey. It's a huge number. And this is something that we have been telling our IT vendors, our clients, and various channel partners that we interact with, that SMBs are the fastest adopters of new technology when it comes up. And if we further delve into the data that we have got from our studies, we find that 42% of these SMBs are taking a holistic view of digital transformation. What it means is that these 42% believe the internet and digital technologies impact every aspect of their business and must become a core part of organizational strategy. And this actually opens up tremendous opportunities for MSPs. And I think, let me expand that a little bit more. What is more encouraging from the data is that SMBs believe in the next 2 years, 32% of their business activities would be digitized, an increase of nearly 50% from about 2 years ago. And again, there is tremendous opportunity for MSPs.
So if you're an MSP and you're catering primarily to SMBs, how would you package and position this as an offering? What kind of services would be included in something like, I'm going to help you with digital transformation?
There are several ways that SMBs can approach this, right? I mean, first of all, they must understand what are the drivers of digital transformation within an SMB. And these drivers stand on basically four different pillars. That is operational efficiency, employee empowerment, customer intimacy, and innovation. So in some way or the other, these MSPs should actually seriously look at that, those business pain points, those issues, and the drivers of transformation within their SMB customer, and how their solution really addresses those issues. But they should also understand what are the dominant inhibitors, like the lack of skills, staff or business management's reluctance to change, lack of capital investment budget. So you have to balance the two, the drivers and the inhibitors. But in a way, if you were to look at it as to where are the opportunities and how they should really package the solution, they should really think about the strengths and say, hey, I am more in the area of digitizing processes. That means I am able to deliver cloud-based applications or solutions. Then start with that. Or the other way around would be to say, hey, I've gone much far beyond this. I have the capability and ability to really install new infrastructure solutions. I can lift and shift, and I can take the support issues away from these SMB customers. I should be able to go and do that. So there are various ways they can start doing it. But the key point is that digital transformation demands that channel partners, MSPs, develop extensive new capabilities also, right, as to how they support the end client, how do they connect the business pain points to these solutions that these MSPs can really offer.
So what are the key competencies that an MSP needs if they're going to be helping clients through this digital transformation?
It's an interesting point, and we have written a pretty detailed white paper on this where we outline, you know, 7 points, and this is our 7 different recommendations. First of all, point number one would be build, test, and evolve roadmaps that connect the technology investments with the additive benefits derived from digital transformation. It's a key area. Number two would be to really start to work with the receptive SMB customers to develop expertise in positioning digital transformation effectively to both business and IT. The question is business and IT both. And then invest in the skills needed to deploy, connect, and optimize technologies that are important to the transformation roadmap. We go along to point number 4, where we need to invest in relationships with vendors that are at the forefront of digital transformation, particularly those that provide foundational technologies, who can articulate strategies for engagements with leaders in advanced solutions such as artificial intelligence, IoT, et cetera, Number 5 would be to really develop an end-to-end capability by combining access to key vendors with access to ecosystem partners who can provide complementary skills. This is very important because digital transformation requires consulting, architecture, deployment, maintenance, etc. So no single MSP has the capability of really providing that end-to-end. So they should really develop the skill sets and the capabilities to be able to partner within the ecosystem. Number 6 would be, hey, how do you really deliver or measure the outcome from digital transformation? So these MSPs should really invest in developing and evolving customer KPIs. That is metrics that their SMB customers can use to measure the business outcome benefits. This will be the key point of connection for the MSPs looking to position themselves as the digital transformation IT management SPs, right? It's not only about just MSPs, but the digital transformation IT management SPs. And finally, point number 7, they should consider developing and deploying an outcome-based revenue model in which customer payments are directly tied to the outcome benefits. Does it make sense?
It does. And I have a couple of questions for you out of that. One is, we talked at the top about there being some confusion about what digital transformation really is. Do you think that MSPs would be better off marketing this, but not calling it digital transformation? Or should they be hooking their marketing on that digital transformation term?
So it's an interesting question, Jennifer, that we get asked many times. And one of the important points here is to really understand the three phrases or the three phases of digital transformation that I outlined earlier: digitization, digitalization, and digital transformation. the MSPs would first look at it in the terms of where are they best positioned and where their customers are, and then use that as the jumping off point, saying that, hey, you know what? Educate the customer what digital transformation means, then tell the customer where they are in their process, and then use that as their marketing strength instead of really identifying themselves with the industry buzzword of digital transformation. I think that would really help them go a long way. Because what is happening is that when the smartphones came out and cloud came out, the MSPs or the channel partners at large were very challenged. But digital transformation actually provides tremendous upsides for these channel partners. And it's really very important for these MSPs to not get carried away by vendor speak, but really identify their own strengths in which areas of the transformation can they have a meaningful impact for their customers. For example, in many cases, these MSPs that describe digital transformation to their prospective SMB clients really are talking about digitization or some combination of these. This is particularly true, or has been particularly true, of MSPs or cloud, that is, suppliers. And we need to kind of move away from this area.
There is a big opportunity here for MSPs. Are a lot of MSPs taking advantage of it, or do you see that there's still a lot of work to be done?
I think the MSPs have started to really take advantage of it. It has accelerated within 2018. We didn't see tremendous traction in 2017, but also depends upon the vendor partners that they have got, right? For example, the vendors who are very active in the role of digital transformation and their marketing message is based around that. And there are MSPs who have partnered with those vendors. Then those vendors tend to push these partners. And then once the partners get a taste of it, they are accelerating it. But in a way, if you look at the various MSPs, they're still trying to understand what it really means for them in terms of revenue. Many of them are still grappling with what can cloud do for them, right? I mean, we have been tracking this market for the last 10 years, and we still find that only about 61% of MSPs have been successful in the cloud business. That's a pretty low number, although it has gone up over the last several years. But still, when cloud is the de facto standard for most of the SMB customers, then only 61% are really turning tremendous profit. Then when you start to juxtapose this with digital transformation, it becomes really complicated. But in a way, we feel that it's a tremendous opportunity because cloud is part of digital transformation. So in a way, we will see that 2018 might be a tipping point where many of the MSPs, but then many of them will approach it from different aspects of it. Some will talk about security. Some will talk about management of the network. So whatever your strengths are, you need to look into that. You cannot be a one whole supplier to your end customer. That's where you need to start to partner with many of the others.
Now, in your 7 points, you also mentioned the last point was tie pricing to digital transformation outcomes. Now, I can imagine that being kind of a scary thought for a lot of MSPs, you know, who have switched to this regular recurring revenue model because it's very predictable. Can you talk more about what a pricing model tied to outcomes might look like?
Right. So it's not that everybody should run helter-skelter and look at outcome-based pricing model. You know, this is a longer-term objective. This should be seen as a longer-term objective for most MSPs and contingent on developing and testing KPIs. And the reason why we are recommending it, because of two reasons. One is it will really help de-risk accelerating SMB investment. That means, and it will open up new opportunities for the MSPs. Number two is, in our studies over the last 3 years that we have been doing with the SMBs to understand what their managed services preferred pricing model would be, they're increasingly looking towards, you know, outcome-based pricing model. But also, you need to understand that it's not about the fact that, hey, you won't get any upfront investment or upfront payment from the end customer. There has to be a small payment, which will help you in the sense that help the SMBs to make that investment from their own side in the resources that they need. But the world is going to come towards the fact that, hey, how can I be sure that whatever you're going to do for me is going to give me the results which I need? Because increasingly, SMBs are connecting their business pain points to the technology solutions that they are using. So in effect, what it means is that the sales will have to be compensated differently. The management will have to be measured differently. Marketing will have to be done differently. So it's not that one needs to do it overnight, but this is something that the MSPs should start to look at it. You also brought up the topic about recurring revenue. Let me also point out some very interesting stats here. We have found that MSPs who have got more than 70% of, I think it was 74% of recurring revenue in their model are not the most successful. There has to be a combination of recurring versus and non-recurring revenue. And that balance, if it is 50-50, they are more primed for future success. And they may see that immediately because they see the cash flow prediction. But then from a future investment point of view, there is a lot more balance if it is, you know, 50-50 or 40-60 type of revenue model. Similarly, if there is a good balance of product versus services revenue, then it guarantees a bit more success than just focused on the services or focused on the product revenue. So the same type of math, if you start to extend it to this model where it is outcome-based, I think it becomes really useful.
So it's helping to diversify your revenue a little bit.
Correct.
Excellent. And if you had to describe this topic that we've been talking about, so sum it up for an MSP in a couple of sentences. Digital transformation, what's the opportunity here?
So it provides enormous opportunities for the channel, particularly the MSP and the reseller community that has been impacted by other recent IT industry trends. And our study shows that globally, SMBs will spend $250 billion on digital transformation initiatives in 2018 alone. And you, MSPs, channel partners, need to participate.
Wow. If someone is interested in learning more about what we've talked about today, where can they find more information from you?
Absolutely. I mean, our website is www.techisle.com. There is a lot of analytical articles there. They can go to the analyst blog. We publish one article every week. They're pretty insightful article, which is read by about 10, 15, 20,000 people every week. Then the other things are, you know, in the areas of channel partners, there are many, many free resources there. There are white papers and documents which the channel partners can download. Similarly, to understand what their end customers are looking for, there are other free resources which are under the white paper section on the end user side and the end customer side. They can download that, or they can simply send me an email. Either, you know, my personal email is anurag@techisle.com, or they can send it at inquiry@techisle.com. We will be happy to respond and engage in a discussion with them.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Anurag. It's been very interesting.
Thank you.
In the show notes, I'll put links to the recent survey Anurag mentioned, as well as those details he shared on how to get in touch with him. On another note, a couple of weeks ago, Avik moved into new, bigger offices down the street from where we used to be. And in the new offices, the marketing team has a recording space where we can record video and audio. This is a first for us. and it has real sound baffling and everything. So this is the first Frankly MSP podcast coming at you from the new studio. I'm pretty excited about it, but I'd love to know what you think of the sound. You can leave a comment on today's show notes at ovic.com/franklymsp/021 or send me an email to franklymsp@ovic.com. And that's a wrap. If you enjoyed today's show, please share the love by leaving us a review on iTunes or posting about us on social media using #FranklyMSP. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.